There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred with you once more in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it's time for another Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Pat Carpenter, and he is the drummer in Mickey Lee's Mutated Music, featuring Mickey Lee, Joey Ramone's younger brother. Mickey has worked hard to preserve his brother's legacy, but he's always had his own music vision and projects as well. The band's latest single is Little Christine, out on Wicked Cool Records, and it's a recent coolest song in the world. Let's hear some of it now, and then I'll be back to chat with Pat Carpenter about it and the band on our Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
She pulled the sheets up off of the bed. It was a moonshine night. She was dressed in red. Yeah, then she pulled the dress up. She pulled the dress up over her head. Now she ain't no 10. She's a number one. All night in, all night on the TV. Now I write these all night. Let it go, yeah, let it go. We didn't even hear the roosters crow. She coming to me.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for some coolest conversations here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. My guest today is Pat Carpenter, the drummer in Mickey Lee's Mutated Music. Hey, Pat, how are you in these tumultuous times?
Doing as best as we all can out here.
Absolutely.
It's great.
Well, have you managed to keep healthy over the past several months?
I have been. I tend to be a little bit of a health nut. And though I can't get to a gym, I've continued my running probably about 3 to 5 times a week. So I try to get out there. It depends. I'm inched up to about 20 miles a week, which I'm okay with. Any more than that, it becomes more than just a healthy thing. And there's nothing really to train for as races. So I'm good with what I'm doing, trying to stay healthy.
How about your friends and family?
Everybody is trying the best they can. We fall a bit on the conservative line of how people are interacting with the virus that's going around. So everybody, I have been extremely fortunate, honestly. I have no immediate family members that have been directly impacted, though some friends have gotten sick over the past couple months, some work friends as well. But fortunately for me, I have been able to sidestep some of the bad things that are going on with the COVID virus right now.
Well, that's great news. Now, I mentioned you being the drummer. What drew you to slapping the trap?
I think I got to go back, the way back machine now. You know, my brother picked up the guitar when he was a young guy. And with him playing the guitar, I figured, why not give a shot at the drums? Many moons ago, and it's probably the one thing I've consistently done for the last 40 years.
So you mentioned your drummer playing guitar. Now, was that, did he start playing guitar and look around and say, I need a drummer, and then he convinced you to be the drummer?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was, he was playing guitar, and I thought about picking up the guitar. You know, I dabbled, maybe, but just the drums and, you know, growing up listening to the music and hearing some of the, you know, the powerful drummers that were around and that I idolized the songs and hearing how they played. I'm like, man, that'd be awesome if I could figure out how to do some of that. So, convinced my parents to buy me a really cheap and broken down drum kit and took some lessons and then just kept rolling from there. It's awesome. It's a fantastic instrument, and it's been the ability to play with and meet so many interesting people and musicians over the years through it. It's just been an amazing instrument.
Well, you mentioned going to your folks and getting them to buy, you know, a broken down drum kit for you initially. I just wonder, you came and said, I want to play the drum. Did the, you know, blood run out of their face? I mean,
absolutely. Like, oh, geez. What are you going to do with it? And I was like, oh, come on, it'll be great, you know? So there was this guy who just sold all of these old drums out of his basement. I forget the name of his company, and he had this, like, going out of business. He was going out of business for, like, 15 years. And, you know, you go there, and he just wanted to know how much money you had, and I think it was a Stewart drum set and some real cheap cymbals. And my parents put me up in the attic.
Oh, okay.
And I'd bang away hard enough that I cracked the ceiling in my parents' bedroom. So they moved me down to the basement.
Well, everybody knows that the foundation of any rock band is a drummer. And usually their greatness rests on his shoulders. Now, am I right about that? Do you agree with that?
Oh, in my eyes, 100%. All drummers believe that.
All right. Well, what's your favorite drummer joke?
There's a couple of them. What do you call a guy that hangs out with musicians? That's a good one.
That is a good one.
What do you call a drummer without a girlfriend? You know, homeless?
Yeah, right.
How do you know when the drummer's knocking at your door? The knocks start off slow and then they speed up and then he never knows when he should come in.
So what's the Pat Carpenter philosophy of drumming? What do you see? What is your role in the band?
Well, I feel in playing in a band, for me, the most important thing has always been playing for the song.
Yeah.
I think your ability to become as best as you can at the instrument should never, I think, come into conflict with what a songwriter or a musician is trying to do with what his song. And I think as your skill set grows and as your ability grows, you shouldn't lose sight that it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing, right?
Yeah.
So if you try to dominate a song just with technical ability, I think it doesn't work out well for the song. And that's kind of what we're all trying to work for, just getting a great song and everybody coming together and trying to create something that only you enjoy and are proud of, but also that people enjoy and people are proud of. So it's always been the philosophy, and I think that's kind of how me and Nick have always been riding for all these years and how I've been able to play with him over, geez, probably the last, I think it's 26 years now.
Well, thinking about that, in fact, let's see, back around in the mid-90s, he had a band called Stop, and they put out at least one album, Never. That's from like 1995. Now, you started playing with him when you guys were together in Stop or not, or how did you guys meet?
Right. So the funny story how we met is we had a mutual friend. I was an assistant editor at a post-production facility, and my back went out, and I was in this band called Funk Nervosa, and it was when the whole, you know, Red Hot Chili Pepper scene was kicking. This band,
yeah,
like Two Skinny Jays in New York, and yeah, the metal meets funk, and I needed a break, and they found another drummer. And I was looking for a band, and I was at work, and I was bummed. And George Seminara, who was the director for a lot of the Ramones videos back in the day, used to work at our facility. And he's like, you know, I got someone that's looking for a drummer. And he knew me from my other bands. And he's like, I think you guys would work out well. Give him a call. I think you like his music. And I looked at the number, and I was like, man, Mike, I called that number for an audition, and they never got back to me. I swear to you. And then, so I went down, I played, I learned the snot out of all the songs. I tried to come in with guns blaring and really impress Mick, and he was happy, and we got along great. And I told him, I'm like, man, I'm telling you, I called your number. And he looked back and he's like, you did, but I live in Long Island and it was a 516 area code. And he was looking for someone that lived in the city. So he never called me back. And we've been having a great laugh over that one. That's how we met. And he had already recorded a bunch of songs for Stop, but he was looking for a drummer. So though most of the songs of that CD wasn't on, there's a couple that we recorded together. But that was the lineup. It was me, Mick, Stephen Siegel, Stephen Sane. And yeah, we put out, I think he put out a great album. I think Stop was just chock full of some really great songs, man. And it was great to be in that band at the time and playing that in New York City. And just been a big fan of Mick's songwriting from that time on. And that's what drew me to play with him at the time when I listened to his music. I was like, wow, this is, you know, it's powerful and it's different and it's smart. And his song arrangements have always been smart and melodic. And his guitar playing is not only, I feel, fantastic, but the way he structures it, once again, you know, writes for the song and everything he plays just kind of puts together to make some really, I think, some really great music, and happy to be part of it.
Well, you know, speaking about songwriting, let's talk about this new single from Mickey Lee's Mutated Music out on Wicked Cool Records. It's Little Christine. It's this week's coolest song in the world. We heard that before we started chatting. So Mickey wrote the tune, right?
Uh-huh. So, and if there was any question, there is actually a Little Christine.
I was going to ask you, is it based on a real Christine?
Yes, it is. It's not my story to tell, but I will say that there is an actual Little Christine. And if you happen across the video, she is in it. Maybe when you wrap back around with Mick, be in on that whole story.
All right. Well, then I'll save that for him. Tell me, though, when did you guys record the tune?
Honestly, I think it's about 3 or 4 years ago. Okay. Mick gave me a call. He's like, Pat, I got a whole bunch of songs that I want to go into the studio and record. And he goes, I wonder if you would be interested in playing some drums on them. And I'm like, yeah, send them my way. And once again, I listened to it and I'm like, wow, really not tremendously different. You know, it's Mickey's style, but I was like, these are great songs. And this is fantastic. So me and him went into the studio at the time, recorded Little Christine and Brave Old World. And we were finished up maybe four more. And then Mick wanted to get a band together to go out and promote some of the music that he played. And that's where he reached out to Wesley Crawford, the bass player that he played with back in Crown of Good. Yeah, and then here we are.
Well, definitely, it's got a party atmosphere kind of on the recording there in the studio, lively chatter in the background. Did somebody leave their phone on during the recording? Because there's this tone that's comes in at one minute, at the time this out, 1 minute 58. Am I out of my mind?
Right. No. Nobody left on the phone. Yeah, Mick wanted to make the song sound like he was singing it in a bar. So he wanted, you know, to have this whole, like, it was like this recording of a group playing this party song. It's a real thumper. It drives, you know, and he just wanted to make it sound like all these people were listening to us. We brought in a whole bunch of friends and recorded, you know, just a whole bunch of noise. And that's Mick, man. He'll throw it in there.
Well, very cool. So I looked at the Mickey Lee's Mutated Music page on Facebook, and there's a photo of you three guys there with the single. I guess you know had just taken it out of the box. And I want you to remind me again about the bass player that's a part of the group here, because as you mentioned, he's not actually on the recording. Can you tell me what his name is again?
Wesley Crawford.
And what's the connection to Wes? Why was he the go-to guy when you were thinking, oh, let's put the group together?
Right. So Mick tried out several, you know, musicians that he's played with over time. And Wesley Crawford, if I'm correct, he was part of Mick's band called Crown the Good, who had a development deal back in the day. And he played with Mick on that project, recorded a lot of songs with him, and then kind of moved down to Florida. And then when Mick was thinking about putting a band together to support the recordings, you know, he talked about Wes, and, you know, they are such good friends and stayed in contact over the years. And he reached out to Wes and he's like, I know you're down in Florida, but would you be interested in coming up to New York and taking a shot at, you know, getting the Mutated Music thing together? And Wes came up, and I was so excited because I've always just been a big fan of Wes and his playing style, and just an amazing guy, you know. And I'm just really lucky to be playing right now with Mick and Wes. We were playing a show up at the Colony before everything kind of headed south this year. And one of the longtime friends of Mick after the show was like, hot dang, man, you guys just look like you enjoy being with each other up on that stage. And, you know, we do. It's just a lot of fun. There's tons of videos of us floating around at rehearsals. You know, Mick will just throw everything out there for his fans. I tell you, it's just playing with Mick and Wes since Mutated Music has come together and shooting the videos and being together. It's just been a blast.
Well, earlier this year, the single Felt Like Love came out, and now it's Little Christine. So is there an album on the way?
Well, I know Mick would love it. We've just been, once again, in the studio, just went in a short while ago and recorded some songs at a safe distance once the studio opened up. So he has enough material out there to continue on and get a full length out. Being part of Wicked Cool right now and releasing these singles has been fantastic. The response has been great. People are really digging it. So, you know, fingers crossed that everybody still has a positive response and it leads to the next thing. That's kind of the way it's been for like the last 4 years. We're like, well, let's record some songs and see if people like them. And people did. And then he goes, well, maybe we'll put out a single and see if people like it. And people did. So we've just been riding that, you know.
Well, I want to talk about the B-side in a moment. But I noticed that earlier this month, you guys put out a video for a tune called Two Kinds of Law. Now, that's not a Wicked Cool thing, but tell me about that song.
Sure. Mick, I think it was either Handsome Dick or Dee Dee Ramone at a time. Mick was talking about Two Kinds of Law, and he said that's kind of where the idea kind of originated all these years ago, talking about how the feeling that the legal system doesn't equally represent everybody, and sometimes it falls along monetary lines with the kind of justice that you get. And Mick's had this idea for a while, and it just seemed, with everything that's going on right now, a good time to write the song and finish it. Mm-hmm. So he, in true fashion, Mick will write the song and then, you know, he'll send us a video of him playing it. And he says, what do you think? Can we get in and do this? And he said, yeah, sure. I think it's the perfect time and the perfect song for us for this time. So we went in there and I barely even knew the song as well as Wes. And we kind of figured it out in the studio. Like, honestly, I left one day and came back the next and the ending of the song was completely different. So, you know, I think Mick finds tremendous magic inside the studio as he produces and writes songs. So, yeah, so we put it together. We shot some footage of us while we were recording it, Tim Phillips, and got it out as quickly as we could. I believe there's a physical single that'll be released later, but we wanted to just get something out because the timing's right and just have a nice digital release. And, you know, Mick felt it was important, and so do I. I think it is a great song for us for this time.
Right. I agree. We'll let people keep an eye out for that, Two Kinds of Law. But now let's talk some about the B-side to Little Christine. You mentioned the title Brave Old World, and it was recorded at the same time as Little Christine. But tell me about that tune. How did that come together?
Yeah. The idea that Mitch had for that one, it's a giant, he wanted to write a song that kind of reflected an M.C. Escher painting. So if you listen to a lot of the lyrics of the song, it's going up the downstairs, out to the roof, you know, a lot of references that if you're familiar with any of the M.C. Escher paintings of the Eternal Staircase and things not actually being visually what you think they are if you take a step back. And he wanted to write a song that reflected that. And I think he did a great job, you know, bending some of his lyrics the way he usually does.
Who's playing the horns on there?
The amazing Arno Hecht. He is legacy from the Uptown Horns. Once again, just pinch me to be in a room with him. His legacy and his discography just speaks wonders, but it just, it doesn't even give you the insight of just how much of a great guy he is. So just another great guy that in playing with Mick that I've been, you know, fortunate enough to share some tracks with. Played with him a bunch at some of the Joe Ramone benefit shows. Joey's fans every year somewhere in New York City, and Arno's always there, and I get to play with him a bunch in a tribute band. And he's joined us on stage on the record release parties, and he's just amazing. Unbelievable. Just like, hey, what key is it in? And he goes in there and listen to what he just does to that song is just wow. Blows my doors off every time I hear it, and a fantastic guy to boot.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Oh, wow. Thanks for giving a drummer the time of day.
Well, you got to give the drummer some.
Right. Seen and not heard.
Well, you are welcome. Now let's take a listen to this B-side off the new single, It's Brave Old World, from Mickey Lee's Mutated Music in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the pitch black lightness, underneath the sunny moon, turned up the radio brightness, and then I finished starting my way too soon. Tightened up the backwards stickies that leads down to the roof. Another brand new morning in this brave old world.
Brave Old World. That's Mickey Lee's Mutated Music here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, the B-side to their latest single, Little Christine, out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's drummer, Pat Carpenter, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our segment. And join me next time when my guest will be Hilton Valentine, the original guitar player in The Animals. He came up with that distinctive guitar figure in House of the Rising Sun and played on all of their seminal hits. Since then, he's had numerous other projects and solo efforts and has a fair number of rock and roll stories to share, including naming the Jimi Hendrix Experience. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.